Am I back on now? Can I use this one just in case I wander? Well, good morning, everyone, again. Yeah, move that one out. Thank you very much. When I was in America, I brought a large print Bible, and it was very big when I first got it. But now I can't see it without a pair of glasses. And I've recently been, I must be trying to get in old to have another pair. He said, don't worry, you've got cataracts coming. But I'm all right. I think you're there somewhere, and I'll see how I get on. I'm thankful to Mavis Whitchurch, who was here last week. Was she here last week? That she was meant to preach the rest of the chapter one, I think, and she didn't do it. But that's good, because it's helped me no end. It's helped fit in with the message I believe I've got from the Lord for you for today. It starts off, God is light, verse 5, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. In other words, we could assume God is perfect. He's perfect in love. He's perfect in his compassion. He's perfect in his goodness and in his truth. God is light. There is no darkness at all. See, the light illuminates things, doesn't it? We live in a place, we're back onto some fields, and when the lights go out, it's black. You know, there's no reflected light anywhere. So the other day I woke up at about, 2 o'clock in the morning, and more than once my wife's woken up wondering where she is because it's so dark you can't see anything. So I thought I'd just try. Have you ever done this? Moving my hand towards my eye, and I couldn't see it at all until I put my a little light on my phone. And I thought, oh yes, there's my hand there. It's so dark. Darkness stops us seeing. But light illuminates everything. And God's light of who he is illuminates the whole of what he's done. And that's who he is. The writer of John's letters, Jesus' friend, who also wrote John's gospel, who was Jesus's best mate on the earth, very close to Jesus, likes this as a motif. He likes using this idea of God and Jesus as being light. So light and darkness are themes that he uses a lot. So if you go back to his gospel, for instance, in John 8:12, he says, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness. That's in spiritual darkness. I'm the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in spiritual darkness. In other words, Jesus gives us understanding and enlightenment, which is really what some of the testimonies were saying, weren't they? All of a sudden, it's like the light goes on. Again, John 3, verses 19 and 21. Jesus' light shines in the darkness, these verses say, but human beings prefer light or darkness. No, they prefer the darkness. Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. But we're born to not to want God's light, naturally. We prefer, ever since our ancestors decided to rebel against God and say, To sing Prince Sinatra's old song, I did it my way. Actually, we prefer the darkness rather than God's light and God's enlightenment. We prefer it. It's what Jesus said. It's not my idea. John 12 also says, verse 46, Jesus says, I come to bring light into the world. So that you can see in front of you, you can see around you, you can see clearly. That's his mission. I come to bring light into the world to deliver us from darkness for all those that will believe in him. That's what this baptism's done. It shows us actually that God is wanting to illuminate the hearts and the minds of every human being that's ever been, and every human being on planet Earth, want to illuminate us with the glory of who he is, the splendor of who he is, and how he radically changes our lives. One of your testimonies said he radically changed your life. That's what he does. Suddenly something happens. You pray that prayer. You have to be careful praying prayers to God, because he has a little answer of hearing them and answering them. And something, the light goes on. It's amazing, isn't it? I know for myself that's what happened to me. I was happy in my sort of darkness, really, or let's call it gloom. Gloominess, really. I was happy with that. But baptism highlights the fact that believing in Jesus changes human beings. When we put faith in Christ, lives change. Talked to Gareth how many young people he's talked to over the years. Actually, where we're not just sharing our ideas, we're sharing Jesus. And he's the most important person that's ever existed on planet Earth. He is God that came to planet Earth to enlighten us, to give us hope, to give us purpose for our existence. And chapter 1, verse 7 implies that actually, I think quite clearly, that this light, when we have it, causes us to change. It causes us to, together, reflect something of God's light out into a dark world. That we love God. When we encounter Jesus, he causes us to love God, and it should help us to love one another. Amen? Amen. Are you sure?
Yes.
That's good. My favourite member here. She said amen, so I'm happy with that. A church is full of people that belong to Jesus. We talked about belonging to Jesus, and we don't belong to Jesus on our own. We're added into his family. We're part of his family. And together, as we love one another, as we care for one another, as we support one another, people see the difference and ask the question, what's going on here? What have they got? A bit like your testimony, you know, can I have what you've got, really, is what you were saying. Can I have what you've got? And yes, you can. And God wants to give us all that light in our lives as we put our faith and trust in Jesus. So this is a loving, caring church because people first love God and then love one another. And if you come in, you'll notice it. And that's where it should be in every church. We don't always get it right. Sometimes we get it wrong, but that's okay. We'll come on to that in a minute. And it expresses itself in kindness and love, and also in forgiveness of others. God showed us his light by sending his son, and he died in my place to enlighten us, to see how much God loves us and that he forgives us. And therefore, if I receive forgiveness, I need to give it away again, don't I? So forgive others. So I asked you this morning, is there anyone that you find that you don't want to forgive? There are times that I think, I'm going to forgive that person. But actually, we have no right to do that, because God never does that to us. He forgives us permanently, fully, and completely. When we marked these folk with a cross and said, you belong to Jesus, he doesn't cast us off from time to time because we're not up to the mark. He commits to us 100% for every day of our lives on planet Earth. And then when we move from this place into eternity, he commits to us forever. That's some incredible commitment in love from God, isn't it? Are you still there with me? Are you sure?
Yes.
That's really good. Now, verse 8 is a very interesting verse. It says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. See, I've met a lot of people, and a lot of people sometimes don't even go to church, and they say, well, I'm not that bad. You kept talking about these people's sins. Sylvia's a lovely person, and so is Ruth. We're not sure about Bob. Yeah, I'll move it. I think that's very wise. You've done things with me before, haven't you? Thank you so much. Yeah, I could as well, but somebody moved it on my behalf. A loving, caring action by a couple whose daughter, their first daughter, I misnamed in a naming ceremony here at church, but we won't go into that. I'm now forgiven, aren't I? Yes. Verse 8 is interesting. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. I have met a lot of people say, I'm not that bad. Oh, I'm not too bad compared to them. I'm really very good. But actually, what does the Bible say about that? If we say that we haven't got sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth of God isn't in us. It's saying, for a Christian, you see, there's a misunderstanding. What is a Christian? A Christian? Well, they're a perfect person, aren't they? Bob will never sin again. And Ruth, she won't ever sin again because they've been baptised. And Sylvia, where's she gone? She moved back up the back there. She'll never sin again, perfect person. Actually, what the reality of it is, as a Christian, and for my rude awakening, I used to say I'm not as bad as some of those people in the church. But God illuminated my mind when I discovered Jesus to say, actually, you are a sinner. You, Brian, have fallen short of God's standards. I'm not that bad. Really? Really? And what I discovered, actually, is that I need to recognise that and own it. That actually I am. I was born in a sinful state. I've always wanted to do my own thing, like every other human being, until I met God. So if we say we haven't sinned, we have a misunderstanding, actually, of what Christians are. We think they're a perfect person or just a good person compared to others. Followers of Jesus first understand that they are sinners, that they're not as truthful as God expects them to be. They're not perfect. They don't always love. They don't always care. They know, and I discovered, and I'm sure you have been baptized, discovered, that we've sinned, as the Bible says, and fallen short of God's standards. That's the starting point for a relationship with God. Well, it seems very ridiculous, doesn't it? Surely I've got to be a good person. No, you've got to recognise you're a bad person. My old mum, when I became a Christian, she said, I know, Brian, you're not a good person, at times, when she was cross with me. And she was right. There were times, even with Christ, I didn't always get it right. But God was changing me bit by bit. And I'd say to my mum, no, I realise I'm a bad person that needs forgiving. And it's amazing when you realise you're forgiven, how that changes your outlook to life. And it does. So the good news is, because of Jesus' death, which we thought about in baptism, and his burial and his resurrection, as we believe in him and we confess our true need for God's forgiveness, something marvellous happens. Jesus cleans us up. That's what he came to do, to clean us up, to make us right with God again. Actually, the word is righteous. We are right with God again. That's the great news, but it comes from recognising that I'm in a bit of a state. In fact, I'm in quite a lot of a state. So let's not fool ourselves. You might just be a visitor today. I'm ever so sorry if I'm rude to you. But actually, we are sinners needing God's forgiveness, each and every one of us. But once he does forgive us, he commits to us fully. Once I recognise I need that bath, I need that washing in Jesus' blood. And if we say, no, I'm all right, I'm fine. I go to church, I give my money, I support this charity and that charity. I think you need to ask the Lord to illuminate you a little bit more to see. Because that's the most starting point for us all. Would anybody agree with that? Good, because lastly then, if you've been so good today, those that have been baptised say they want to walk in Jesus' truth, in Jesus' light. That's their intention. So chapter 2, verse 1 says this, I write this to you so that you will not sin. He's writing to Christian people here. So Brian, then, we don't have to sin once we're Christians. No, and I try not to, but sadly, yes, my best member again is nodding her head. Sadly, we don't always do the things we want to do, even as Christians. The things we'd like to do, we don't always do, Paul says. And the good I want to do, I don't always do. And the bad I don't want to do, I seem to do more often than not. Does that mean God is constantly rubbing me out of his book of life? He's got a big Tippex bottle of ink. Writing my name out. No, he's constantly committed to me. Because actually, John wants to address this to you, because the devil will come to you, something will happen, Bob, and you'll lose it somewhere along the line. Not that you would, because I know that you're a perfect sort of person, really. But you will, and I will, and just as was prayed for, sometimes the devil will try and rush in and snatch away the good. And then he says to you, you're not much of a Christian, are you? And you were baptised. What sort of Christian are you? I'd give it up. Don't go to church anymore. It don't work. The reality is, John here is really good at pinpointing the reality, the truth of God's love for us. It says, but if we sin, that's the good news, Jesus continues to speak to the Father on our behalf. And God, the Holy Spirit, continues to clean us up. So it's ongoing. So don't hold on to that and think, oh, I'm useless, I'm rubbish. Say, God, I'm sorry, I really messed up badly. I'm only picking on you because you're there and I can see you just about. God continues to forgive us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's ongoing. So what I suggest that we do is we keep short accounts of sin when we get it wrong. But that's not the intention. Because what the writer here says, he says, actually, light has dawned on you. It mightn't be low light at some stages, but the light of Jesus' love shines in this world, in and through us. And if we get it wrong, let's wipe off the thing and start again by asking the Lord to forgive us. So that's really good news. If you sat there, I know people don't go to church because they think, I'm just not good enough. That's the very reason we need to go to church, because we're not. We're not good enough. But somebody has made us good enough. Jesus has cleansed us. So in one sense, as a Christian, I'm no longer a sinner. I become a child of God, loved, accepted, with all the purposes that God has for us. So what am I saying to you to wind up? We don't need to live in any sort of defeat that the Lord Jesus is committed to us for the past, the present and the future. When we get it right and when we get it wrong. He walks with us even when we don't walk with him. When we are faithless, he remains faithful. His atoning sacrifice on the cross covers all our sins. Now that's a saviour. He doesn't say, oh, we don't say, oh Lord, I'll try harder next time. Because you know, the Lord knew what he was getting when he got me. yeah, but he knew about you as well, my love. So that, and, but he was committed to us, and he remains committed to us. So today with this baptism, you might have been baptized 41 years ago like Steve or longer. The Lord is as committed to you today as he was the day you were baptized or the day you came to faith in him. Let's keep walking with him. Let's keep walking and seeing more of that light made known. And as you go out from this service, may you take that light of Jesus with you. May we, in our words and our actions and our deeds, declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Saviour to the glory of God the Father. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you love me so much that you left heaven to come and rescue me. Thank you that you don't just rescue me once, but you continue to rescue us when we need. But you don't just rescue us, but you give us enlightenment. You give us vision to see you and to see the world as it is. I thank you when I first found you, the world seemed so much bigger, so much more of what you've done. And I pray for each and every one here, for any that are still struggling with faith, that they would just bow their knees to you and say, Lord, I haven't got it right. Come into my life. Give me your light. Give me your love. Give me your life. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for those that have been baptized. We pray you protect them. And each and every one of us, we pray that we will shine for Jesus in these days that we have here on planet Earth. Amen.